Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about the moment we're living through, how to understand spiritually these challenging days that we're living through. And we all had hoped, you know, after 2020 was done, that the challenges and the difficulties would go away. But the shaking, the divisions, the spiritual struggles, the political struggles, social struggles, all that stuff is so present, and it's going to intensify. And I'm saying that because I believe it in my bones. And I also feel in some way that the Lord has prepared us, prepared me for this. And he's given sneak previews of coming attractions, you might say, to the church. He's spoken prophetically through lots of different people, through Our Lady, through various saints, but also in this generation, through leaders in the church, priests, key lay people, who I think have had dimensions. And the Lord has given little peeks in how to understand the moment we're living through and how to be prepared for it. So I just want to share some of that today and really throughout this week, maybe even into next week. And today, looking at some key passages that help understand what we're facing. So I want to start with Psalm 2. Earlier in the year, the latter part of 2020, I did take some time to talk about Psalm 2, but I think it's one of the most prophetic passages in the Bible that speaks to what we're facing. Pope Benedict XVI at one point said, the temptation that's communicated here in Psalm 2, the spiritual struggle and the spiritual battle, is lived out in history in various degrees of intensity. And I think it's being lived out here. It's fundamentally four stanzas in this psalm. And the first stanza describes the problem. The second stanza kind of describes God's response to it. God the Father, the third stanza is Jesus' declaration of who he is and what he's accepted from the Father, where the Father has placed him, how he's raised him up, and the role that he's given to him. And finally, King David warning the kings of the earth. So the first stanza reads like this: why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. So just to take a look at that first. So here's the fundamental human temptation, you might say. One way of expressing it is the nations tempted, its leaders tempted, to define reality over and against God, to reject the lordship of Christ, the kingship of God himself, to move out from under the commandments of God, the will of God, and to define reality on our own terms. And they describe it, the psalmist, King David, the kings of the earth set themselves. So they set themselves, they use their influence, they use their power to set themselves against the will of God. And because they want their will, not God's will. And the rulers, they take counsel together. So if you take a look at what's going on in society today, there's a global, profound, deep, secularizing force, a disordered energy, a disordered force that's seeking to define reality apart from God. And in our country, more than any time in my life, it's being expressed more and more. And there's a redefinition, the very story, for example, that the country lived under and lived with from its conception was a story that included God. It was a country that was established by religious people, and they had, many of them, a biblical worldview. Some were deists, some were explicitly Christian, but they had the grand narrative. Every civilization that's ever existed has had a grand story of its meaning, of its origin, of what matters, upon which the culture and the values of the culture are built. And that's what we used to call Christendom for 1,500 years in the West. That has collapsed. The story of God, that civilization being defined in some way by orienting itself, respecting God and nature's God. Well, that's being wiped off the table. And an aggressive worldview is asserting itself in this time in our culture. That's sort of one of the fundamental changes that's happening. And it's being driven by the kings of the earth for lots of different reasons. The most powerful companies in the world that don't embrace that worldview at all. They've got a totally different one. That's from their perspective that's driving it. And there's values and there's commandments that they have themselves that they demand that the society embrace. He said, so let's burst their bonds asunder, the psalmist said. So God's commandments are like bonds, making them slaves in their mind, that they can't be free. So God is their adversary. And we can't be free unless nothing has a claim on me. I'm the only one who can determine who I am and how I'm going to live and what reality means for me. So let's cast their cords from us. So that's the rebellion that's in the human heart. And at various times in history, this temptation intensifies. It gets solidified in politics, in social order, in the culture, in business, and the rest. And that's what's happening right now. You know, one quick example is just President Biden, you know, his very first day, he comes right back and signs into law aggressive American policy on abortion. You know, despite the fact that he calls himself a Catholic, and then he signs on to an aggressive push for all the LGBTQ stuff that's all there. This is part of the new religious creed. This is part of what's being pushed forward by the kings of the earth, is saying, no, this is freedom. This is truth. This is how good people live, doing these things, believing in these things. And I've talked many times about those things in a program, so I don't need to talk about it today, but the sheer force of the social order now is being imposed upon to accept, to celebrate, to embrace, and to promote these things. And the full force of the government is being used to make that happen. Whether or not the president sees himself as cooperating with the kings of the earth in oppressing people and throwing off God's commandments, whether he thinks he is or not, he is. There's no doubt about it in these areas, for sure. The next stanza, he who sits, how does God respond to this? He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. It's the most terrifying laugh ever. God looks at creatures. You know, it's about like you and me looking on a hot sunny day, looking down on a sidewalk, a little row of tiny little red ants who are shaking their little, I don't know what you call it, their little leg or their little, you know, raising up their little fist, so to speak, and saying, you know, we're rejecting you. I'm coming against you in some way. It's insanity. You cannot oppose God and live. God's not threatened by you. Our power is so tiny. He's given us this whole cosmos to remind us how small we are and how limited we are and how great he in relationship to who he is. But this is where human blindness, this is where the darkened mind of sinful human flesh gets to. So it goes on, it says, then he'll speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. In the first stanza, it's a rejection of the Lord and his anointed. Who's his anointed? The Messiah. Who's the Messiah? Jesus. God has made him King of kings and Lord of lords, and that every knee would bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of his name that Jesus Christ is Lord. Third stanza, I will tell you of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. And you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. This is the Son saying the Father has positioned him. The Father has given him the nations. He's the King of kings and Lord of all lords. Every knee will be subject to him. His commission in the Father is to subdue all the enemies of God in the earth. Not only the demons, Satan in his demonic realm, but every human being who was made for eternal destiny, to be eternal fellowship with God, who resists it, who joins the kings of the earth, becomes God's enemy. And he will rule with an iron rod. There's a lot of Old Testament references here. Obviously, the Psalms are in the Old Testament, but you see these also in the New Testament as well. And Jesus will rule, and he's going to bring everything in subjection to himself, to his authority. He's going to deal with all the enemies of God, and he's going to present to the Father a people whose hearts are united in love and obedience and have followed Jesus and have allowed the Lord to form our hearts and to work miracles in us and make us like Him, to make us saints, to be able to agree to become one family with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, David, the last stanza, is observing these realities, and here he is, all the kings of the earth he's seeing are setting themselves against the Lord, and here's David's response. Does he cower? Is he timid? Is he afraid? Is he looking to accommodate? Is he trembling because he's afraid he might get canceled? He might lose certain privileges? And the rest, no. Listen to David. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. What does wisdom look like? Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling kiss his feet, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So David's a leader. He's not afraid of men, the kings of the earth, and he stands against them and he warns them. He doesn't try to win their favor or accommodate himself to them. He's not living in the fear of men such that he needs their approval and protection. He's not afraid of them. He's not afraid of what they can do to him. He's a free man, and he's living under the authority of God. And like Jesus, he's filled with the holy fear of God. I mean, the Isaiah 11 chapter where we get the spiritual gifts that were given at confirmation in particular that lead us to fuller maturity in Christ, it says Jesus not only had the gift of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and we're sharing in those things, but he had the fear of the Lord, and it says his delight was in the fear of the Lord. Jesus had filial awe and respect for his Father and the might and the power of his Father. God is love, and God's love is of holy fire. It's a furnace. It's a consuming fire. And when the human heart opens itself to God, that consuming fire purifies, it cleanses, it draws us in, and the love of God and the flame of God's love comes alive in us, and we become day by day united more deeply to the life of the Trinity, the burning heart of God's love. But if we resist it, that fire will consume us, that fire will destroy us, and David knew it. And David loved enough to warn the kings of the earth of their foolishness. To deny God and to resist God's commands is the epitome of foolishness. Friends, I've said it many times in the program, there is no third way. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. You're either in the kingdom of light or you're in the kingdom of darkness. The world is trying to fashion a third way that fits and suits whatever we feel and whatever we want, as if God doesn't exist. That is a grotesque and very dreadful, foolish lie. I guess all lies are foolish, probably, right? But it's fundamentally a lie from the pit, and it's going to lead to the kind of disorder, the chaos, the division, the confusion that we're seeing in our culture. There's a spiritual root to what's going on in our culture, and God is shaking the nations, Hebrews 12, in order for us to wake up and to come back to him. Because the last thing he wants to have happen is for you or for me or for anyone else to be eternally separated from him. But he's a just God, and he will not abide his creatures demanding, disobeying, creating their own reality and resisting his will, because it always leads to destruction. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.